to me.
War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. No, I do not agree. It is good for something, but it's not us. And it's not the people that are getting the bombs dropped on them. So let's get back to this. And then came the bust. Now, Hayek's stock market prediction came true 8 months later when the United States stock market crashed in October of 1929. But what the Federal Reserve did next is what really hurt. The Fed shrank the money supply by one-third between 1929 and 1933. The result was the same as 1920, a deep depression. Why did the Fed do this? Well, that isn't quite clear. There was no need to counteract price inflation as there had been in 1920, but what really matters is this. The result was a deep global depression. The time period during which the money contraction happened was crucial, 1930 to 1933. It's been said in various ways by various people, when America catches a cold, the world catches the flu. The United States is so large and powerful that everything it does impacts the world in a magnified way. And that's why when the Federal Reserve crashed the U.S. money supply between 1930 and 1933, the resulting depression spread around the globe, including to Germany. And the date range when the money contraction happened is the precise time during which the Nazis went from a tiny little faction of the political party in Germany to huge. You can see the change in the Nazis' vote totals. On September 14th of 1930, the Nazis received 18.3% of the vote and 107 seats in the Reichstag, 18.5% of 577 seats. In April of 1932, the Nazi Party membership reached 800,000 card-carrying members. And in August of 1932, the Nazis received 37.3% of the vote and 230 seats, or 37.8% of 608 seats. And this election made the Nazis the largest party in the Reichstag. November 6, 1932, the Nazis received 33.3% of the vote and 196 seats, 33.5% of 584 seats, and support for the Nazis had fallen a bit, but they remained the largest party in the Reichstag. Now, it's normal in a parliamentary system for the largest party to gain control of most government ministries, and therefore, it was only a matter of time before the Nazis' leading position in the Reichstag resulted in the acquisition of executive power. And so, January 30th, 1933, President Hindenburg appointed Hitler as chancellor, giving him ministerial control of the government. March 5th, 1933, the Nazis received 43.9% of the popular vote and 288 seats in the Reichstag, or 44.5% of 647 seats. The Nazis now had full control of Germany, with everything that would come to mean for the world. The U.S. roots of Nazis' power, well, follow the chain of cause and effect. U.S. intervention in World War I gave victory to Britain and France and imposed the Versailles Treaty on Germany. The Versailles Treaty midwifed the Nazi Party. The Federal Reserve policies gave the Great Depression to the world and the power to the Nazis. Now run the story another way. Remove the United States intervention from World War I, remove the Versailles Treaty and the Federal Reserve. If none of these things happened, then the Nazis would have remained a tiny party of nut jobs, barely a footnote in history. Was World War II a good war? World War II is Exhibit A for anyone who wants to make a case for foreign intervention. That's because people are sure they understand what the payoff was. They assume that we defeated the Japanese and stopped their wave of conquest. This understanding is partly true, but completely superficial. The U.S. did stop Japanese imperialism, but too many people assume that war was the best path to that goal and that the Pacific Basin was better off because of that war. There was a possible peaceful path to avoiding Japanese imperialism. Imagine that U.S. politicians had freed all the colonies we conquered from Spain in the Spanish-American War. Imagine that U.S. politicians had not waged a war of conquest in the Philippines between 1899 and 1902. Imagine that Teddy Roosevelt had not encouraged the Japanese to start an empire of their own. Imagine that Teddy Roosevelt had not given Korea to Japan as their first imperial conquest on November 28, 1905. And imagine what might have happened instead had U.S. politicians urged the Japanese to follow a peaceful course. In other words, if U.S. politicians had set a good example instead of a bad one, maybe there would have been no conquering Japanese empire to worry about. Instead, U.S. politicians did absolutely everything wrong, and Japan followed our bad example. And in addition, it's possible that U.S. politicians actually chose the more evil side in the conflict between Japan and China. U.S. politicians made exactly this mistake in World War I. Well, a case can be made that U.S. politicians did it again with Japan and China. But first, you have to understand how we became involved in the Sino-Japanese conflict. The Japanese didn't attack Pearl Harbor for no reason. There was a lot of prelude. Franklin Delano Roosevelt began imposing trade restrictions on Japan back in 1939. And in 1940, he began organizing fighter pilots to send to China. They became known as the Flying Tigers. I believe there's a movie made about it by John Wayne back in the 40s or 50s. FDR also sent numerous ships into Japanese waters, hoping to provoke an event that would lead to war. Can you think of the Gulf of Tonkin incident? When that failed, FDR imposed an oil embargo on Japan, and that provoked the response he wanted, an attack on the United States. Pearl Harbor ended up being the target. So the question is, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt right to defend China against Japan? That question overlooks something crucial. FDR was not mainly defending the Chinese people. He was defending China's ruler, Chiang Kai-shek, who may actually have been worse than the Japanese. Consider Professor R.J. Rummel is the world's leading expert on democide, death by the state. He has researched the number of murders committed by 20th century rulers independent of those they caused through war. And his findings for Chiang Kai-shek versus Japan? Chiang Kai-shek murdered 10 million people. Japan murdered 5 million. Now, by that measure, Chiang was more evil than the Japanese. FDR was wrong to choose Chiang's side. This is a mistake that both U.S. politicians and the American people have made repeatedly. Too many Americans assume that every conflict must have a good side and a bad side. But that's not really true. More often than not, both sides are bad. And that was certainly the case in both World War I and with Chiang Kai-shek versus Japan. Now, adults realize that some situations are inflexible. You just have to wait them out because any effort to intervene just makes matters worse. So, sadly, the closer you look, the worse the case against the United States war with Japan becomes. And if you're going to pick a fight with someone, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt did with Japan, and then sacrifice vast wealth and innocent young lives to that purpose, you had better make damn sure you leave things better than you found them. But the exact opposite happened in the case of the Pacific War. China ended up worse. Korea ended up worse. Vietnam ended up worse. And neither Franklin Delano Roosevelt or his generals nor Harry Truman gave much thought to how things would be in Asia after they defeated Japan. Instead, our so-called leaders were incredibly simple-minded. Once they had their war with Japan, they focused exclusively on winning that war with hardly any thought for what would come after. And Korea is the poster child for that area. Do you want to know where North Korea came from? It's really simple. U.S. politicians created it. First, Teddy Roosevelt encouraged Japan to conquer Korea November 28, 1905. Second, Harry Truman invited Joseph Stalin to occupy the northern half of the Korean Peninsula at the end of World War II. And bam, the result is North Korea and the Korean War that followed. Both were made in the USA by U.S. politicians, but the worst was yet to come. Instead of losing to the Japanese, Chiang Kai-shek lost to Mao's communists. The result? Mao delivered another 50 to 80 million Chinese corpses. And in short, the U.S. war against Japan was mostly a disaster. Its only accomplishment was the end of Japanese militarism. All its other consequences were calamitous. Now, this was written by Justin Raimondo. He had started to write a Memorial Day column, and he says, I looked up this piece from 2012, which says almost precisely what I intended to say. And when you've been writing a column covering foreign affairs for over 20 years, as he had, repetition is inevitable. But what followed captured his view of the holiday and its contemporary meaning so completely that he decided to give it to his readers rather than attempt to replicate the same thoughts, albeit in different words. So, as he states, we should just get rid of Memorial Day for all the good it does us. Originally, Decoration Day, the last Monday in May, has become the designated time for us to remember the war dead and honor their sacrifice, while perhaps taking in the lessons of many conflicts that have marked our history as a free nation. In line with the modern trend of universal trivialization, however, the holiday has been paganized to mark the beginning of summer when we get out of the barbecue grill and have the neighbors over for hamburgers and beer. As for contemplating the meaning of the day in the context of our current and recent wars, that is left to those few pundits who pay attention to foreign policy issues, or else the writers of peons to the greatest generation, World War II being the only modern war our panegyrists designed to recall, since it is relatively untouched by the ravages of historical revisionism. Indeed, as far as our wars are concerned, the very concept of historical memory has vanished from the post-9/11 world. It seems the Earth was born anew on September 11th, 2001, and only ragged remnants of our mystified past, mostly from World War II and the Civil War, survived the purge. In the new version of our victories, they're exaggerated and glorified, while our defeats, i.e. Vietnam, Korea, and our nasty little covert wars in Central and South America, are not even mentioned, let alone considered in depth. The abolition of historical memory is one of the worst aspects of modernity. It is certainly the most depressing. For the modern man, it's an effort to recall what happened last week, never mind the last century. The news cycle spins madly and ever faster, and the result is that we are lost in the blur of now. For all intents and purposes, we are people without history who recall past events, if we remember them at all, as one would summon a vague and confusing dream. The Vietnam War was the last major conflict that caused us to reconsider our foreign policy of global intervention for any length of time. And at this point, it has been thoroughly buried in the public's imagination. And for a brief moment, the so-called Vietnam Syndrome was bemoaned by the political class, who complained it prevented them from indulging their desire to intervene anywhere and everywhere at will. And the memory of that futile crusade did have a restraining effect for some years, until the passage of time, the collapse of communism, and finally the 9/11 terrorist attacks wiped the slate clean. Never mind remembering the lessons of Vietnam. We repressed even the bitter lessons of our most recent past conflict, the disastrous invasion and occupation of Iraq. And no sooner had we fallen into that quicksand than we promptly forgot who pushed us in, which is why the authors of that disaster continue to function as foreign policy mavens and political seers whose reputations are considered sterling. The neocon clique and any number of politicians of both parties who fulsomely supported that war, today, they act as if they have nothing to apologize for and nothing to regret. Far from being repentant or repentant, they are, if anything, proud of their advocacy, secure in the knowledge that, well, everyone believed Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, and smug in the certainty that no one of any consequence had anything to gain by raising the subject. Now, who really even remembers the Kosovo War under our loving Bill and Hillary Clinton? That is the war that, as it unfolded, we were told as many as 100,000 Kosovars were being exterminated. And yet, at war's end, we found a few thousand. Serbs and Kosovars in equal number had been murdered. The trial of a man named Ratko has the war party mythologizing that conflict, as is its wont. Unfortunate for them, the kangaroo court known as the Hague Tribunal has been adjourned in that case, perhaps permanently, on account of the prosecution's withholding of evidence. Withholding of evidence. Does that sound familiar? That's par for the course. Withholding evidence, suppressing truth. Can you think Bundy's? Editing the historical record has been their modus operandi from the start, but apparently the judges and an attack of conscience in this case. And it looks like the NATOcrats won't get their show trial after all. Who really remembers the Korean War? Not even the writers whose major interest is foreign policy are capable of recalling as it actually was fought. And Rachel Maddow, MSNBC anchor and liberal voice, recently wrote an entire book based on the premise that Republicans are primarily responsible for the unmooring of American military power from either constitutional or political restraints, forgetting, if she ever knew, it was Harry Truman who set that precedent when he sent U.S. troops to Korea without bothering to ask Congress first. Now, let us not blame Rachel. History has forgotten discipline. It's practiced selectively when it isn't invoked at all. And these days, in modern times, it's best not to contemplate the past too much or too intently, because comparison with the present is bound to depress us. An ice cream cone bought for a Memorial Day picnic used to cost a dime. Today, nothing costs a dime, not even alms to a beggar. To recall past wars is to recall their folly. And no one wants to be reminded of their moral and cognitive shortcomings. So we resort to mythology that valorizes the victors and paints the defeated in various shades of black. And when that's not possible, well, amnesia is our last resort. And so I say let's rid ourselves of Memorial Day and at least be honest with ourselves in this one instance. Let's acknowledge we'd much rather forget our history of mass murder and rename the last Monday as in May in honor of some pagan holiday, because Memorial Day is an oxymoron in a nation of amnesiacs. There are always exceptions to the rule in any dark age. Some who recall and preserve valuable knowledge that has been lost or reconfigured into its exact opposite. In our era of eternal warfare, surely the supporters of antiwar.com fit into that category. The polemic above is obviously not aimed at their direction. As a chief repository of historical memory when it comes to the folly of Americans' wars, antiwar.com is serving a special audience, one that presumably doesn't have to be lectured on the importance of opposing our foreign policy of endless information and needn't be reminded of history's grim lessons. I shared that with you because I look at what's going on today, what's going on currently, and what has been going on in Iraq, the civil war that has raged on for years in Syria, the war drums that are beating in Iran. And I remember a show that I did, it was several years ago, I believe it was on a different network. I believe it was called Imagine Utopia. Can you imagine a world had Tesla been able to succeed, had Tesla not been robbed and ostracized and vilified, and had Tesla's invention been able to come to the forefront, or many others for that matter, the inventor of the water-driven car, who mysteriously died, a couple of other guys here in Arizona that replicated it, and by the way, I went and actually tracked them up, I think it was near Prescott, they vanished. All of these things that would have caused us, the American people, to be able to have and live in a country free of having to pay a utility company, free of having to pay every time you go into a gas pump, free of all of this, free electricity, free fuel to go from point A to point B. Tesla would have given us that. Instead, we have these people throughout history that have caused to repress and caused to politicize and to propagandize our young people into going off to fight wars that are unnecessary, and they believe they're defending. Take a break. 800-313-944. Phone lines are open. I'll be back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Stick around. More to come.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. You know, before I get back to this and give you my sentiments on what's going on with these young guys that go into the military, during the break I went in and I was looking at my email. And, you know, a lot of times hosts, and I've talked to many of them, two of them in the last 2 days, they wonder why they even do this. Because we have our moments. We have our moments of really highs and we have our moments of lows. I'm no different than many talk show hosts, and John will attest to the same thing. John has his highs, and John has his lows. Why do we do this? Well, I received an email. I just looked at it during the break from John Stapmiller, which says, the sentiment is pretty broad and positive. That was John's only comment. But he said that in regards to an email that he received from an expat who lives in Uruguay. And I guess it's regarding me. It says, subject Herzog. He says, Mr. Stadmiller, I thank you for making his return possible. I'm an American expat RBN listener living in rural area of Uruguay, and your network is such a very important lifeline to me for info from the United States. I truly appreciate all that you do. And I will say, it humbles me. And I've had this conversation with John. There are so many good hosts on this network, and I've listened to a number of their shows, and I really am. I even asked John, I said, I can't even carry their suitcase. These guys, Tom Lacovere, Michael Rivero, these guys are great. They give us some really up-to-date information, and, you know, I'm just a conduit, folks. I guess a lot of people like my voice. I get complimented on it all the time. And I bring forth the best I can bring forth. But when I see something like this, it reaffirms why I do what I do. I mean, I couldn't imagine that my voice would even reach somebody in Uruguay. I'm just behind a microphone, just talking. For as far as I'm concerned, nobody could be listening. I don't know. The only way I know is when callers call in from all over the United States with brilliant questions, with comments and so forth, because truly indeed, as the commercial I wrote, you guys are the most aware, knowledgeable audience of any audience of any mainstream or alternative media in the world. And it's because of the information that these great hosts bring to you. And so I have to tell you, I'm both honored and humbled that John Stadtmiller has even, with my, you know, escapades in my life, has even said, Michael, come on back. He actually held that slot open for me for this very appearance. So thank you, John Stadtmiller. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the email. So getting back to what I was speaking about, what really saddens me about this whole, you know, military thing is that it's not, you know, we have a defense budget. It's not a defense. It should be called an offense budget because they allot upwards of $1 trillion a year to occupy bases in 168 countries or something like that. Donald Trump said he was going to reduce that. He hasn't done so as yet. But these young guys in high school, juniors and seniors in high school, these recruiters come in with all this painted brilliance and, you know, making the Army or the Navy or the Air Force look like this grandiose event and an adventure, when in reality, it isn't. It's a meat grinder. And John had mentioned on his show that a number of casualties in Iraq, I believe it numbered 7,800 or something like that. But what's even worse is the casualties of the number of men that have come home and couldn't deal with the truths that they found out over there and have committed suicide to the tune of 122 plus thousand because of ignorance, for lack of being treated in the Veterans Administrations, for the memories or the orders that were given to these young men to carry out atrocities that were buried, they cannot talk about them when they come home. Can you imagine what that does to your mind? I recall back in 2006 when I had first gone on the radio on KFNX in Phoenix. This is at a time where the subject of torture was coming up, and they were trying to bury that. We're calling it enhanced interrogation. And the depleted uranium was bombing and poisoning Iraq and killing children and killing, you know, moms, dads, cousins, brothers, aunts, uncles. And I was going on the air and I was reporting on this on a mainstream radio station, and I was getting attacked by Army and Navy wives telling me that I was a liar. And it wasn't until 2 years later that all of this came to the surface that was really going on. Yet during that period of time, I was ostracized and vilified because I was talking to people that literally were mind-numb, dumbed-down Americans and could not believe that our military was capable of that. Only to find out later, indeed, it was all true that books were written, veterans have come home, they have thrown their medals away, 122 plus thousand ultimately have committed suicide over this. When and where does it stop? Your break coming up, we'll be back in three. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, I intend to get into, you know, that old, I've got a Marty in Idaho. I'll be with you in just a minute. I want to make a point here. I wanted to share with you, you know, that myth in, that we hear all the time about teachers are underpaid. And that's true in some states they are. But I wanted to share with you some information I got when I took a trip out to California a few weeks ago. My oldest friend lives there. He's an attorney in Orange County. And he happened to direct me to a website, and I was absolutely shocked to see what the salaries of some of their officials, if you will, police, teachers, and so forth, earn. So I'm going to share that with you in a little bit. But let's go to Marty in Idaho. Marty, you're on with Michael. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's Marty, girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Buddy. I'm
right.
Your buddy.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Welcome back.
Go ahead.
I was going to say welcome back, Cotter, but enough being silly. welcome back, Michael. I missed the first few minutes of your of today's show.
Uh-huh.
But what you presented, that historical review, I mean, it was hard to keep up, but I know most of the points. But is there a way that I can find out who wrote that, if you're reading it, or I don't know?
Yeah, I read it. I believe it was Justin Raimondo that wrote it.
Justin Raimondo?
Yeah, Justin Raimondo at antiwar.com, if I remember
that. Down.
Yeah, I did about, I don't know, gosh, I'd have to think about it, maybe 80 shows when I was in the evening slot. And I was on the phone this morning with yet another talk show host, which I had to stop doing that because they burn up my time. And you can't get off the phone with them because a lot of them are, you know, they're so intelligent. But, you know, I used that on a show, I don't know, 7 months ago. But it's a different audience during the day than it is at night. And I've got a whole mess of shows that I'm thinking about redoing because a lot of the people in the daytime audience didn't hear them. One of them is the Titanic. I'm going to do that show again regarding the sinking of possibly the Olympic. Go ahead.
Yeah, last year, all your shows when you were on the... And when you went away, I went, oh. But anyway.
Well, you know...
Do you think it's... Let me say, R-E-Y-M-O-N-D-O, Justin Raimondo. Does that make sense?
Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find him in here. Yeah,
I'm
Justin,
R-A-I-M-O-N-D-O. Oh, wait. R-A-I-M-O-N-D-O?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, at antiwar.com.
Right.
Welcome back, sir. Really. you're making my day.
Well, I know I have at least one buddy. Because
yes,
as I
you got a buddy.
As I just mentioned, Marty, you know, you get on the air and you're behind a microphone and you don't know if anybody's listening. I mean, you get a caller here and a caller there. But I get this email during the break from John Stadtmiller, and a guy in Uruguay is listening to me. I mean, you know.
Yes, I heard. Yes.
You know how humbling that is?
I don't know. Does your hat still fit?
No, well, my hat's fine. You know, I've said so many times in jest sometimes, I have no ego. But, of course, that's not true. I do have one, but, you know, I try to keep it under my hat. But, truthfully, being on the air really doesn't have a lot to do with ego. It has to do with passion for the truth, and that's what I've always been.
Oh, I know. You're passionate, yeah. Well, I'm passionate, too, and I want to share this, even though I'm in my eighth decade.
You don't sound like it. You sound like a spring chicken.
I know. Isn't it amazing? I know, I am. I really am. But I am what I am, but I also am what I am. You know what I'm saying? So, I want to share this because, oh, my gosh, it's clear to me. Now, did you ever watch what John suggested that we all look at a couple of years ago, The Greatest Story Never Told?
No. What's it about?
It's about World War I, World War II, and Adolf Hitler, and it's really long. I don't know if you have time. But I've got the DVD where I could sit and watch it a little bit at a time, but one of the viewers of John's show watched it. He called me because we got in touch somehow. He watched it 9 times. That would be a lot of watching. I watched it 3 times. It is a beautiful story.
Well, I wrote it down.
John just went crazy. He recommended it. He went, oh, my gosh. Oh, you know, and so I got a hold of it through Ingry Castle. And I'm due to look at it again this year.
I'm going to put it into YouTube after I get off the air, see if I can find it there. But you know, it's funny about John.
It's on. Yes, you can find. You just type it in. You can watch it online too instead of buying it, and then you can watch chapter by chapter.
You know what's fun about visiting John, and the short-lived experience I had in living with John, is John will come home every night with a movie or two. And it's always a brilliant movie. I mean, the movies that he came home and every night we'd watch a movie, which is what I do just about every night anyway. But John would pick out these movies at Redbox and he'd bring them home every night, you know. And I miss that because we, you know, us both being talk show hosts, we would scrutinize the movie and go into all of the semantics of it and so forth. And it was a lot of fun, you know, and it was uplifting for both of us.
You could be roomies with John again.
No, I can't. Well, I mean, the problem is the monetary end of it is that here, you know, I have a couple of jobs. Matter of fact, I'm an umpire, baseball umpire. They canceled the game today, so I'm going to go in there after the show. I'm going to call my little friend, my little girlfriend in Indiana, and then I'm going to go in and find this movie and probably watch it. I may comment on it tomorrow, but, you know, as far as logistically...
Well, it's a long one. Believe me, it's long. I mean...
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I have nothing else to do.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm going to be listening. I'll be listening. Are you still in Arizona?
Yes, ma'am. I came back to Arizona because of the job I had here. So I have to make additional money, and I couldn't do it in Austin, Texas, because the umpiring is out here in Arizona. So I had to come back. But anyway, no, it was an interesting experience living with John. He's fun. At times, he's fun.
You're not in Prescott, are you? Are you in Prescott?
No, I'm in Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah, I lived in Prescott for several years. That's where I lost my husband. I mean, I didn't lose him. He, you know, I didn't misplace him. He died.
What part of Idaho do you reside?
Oh, Coeur d'Alene. I just moved over to Post Falls. I got a house. I was able to buy a house at my age. I was so excited.
Okay. Well, no, I was just wondering because Carol Asher lives up there, and Jack McLam, the late great Jack McLam, he lived up in Kamaya, Idaho, which is where I believe Carol is. You know, so anyway,
and I got to meet her at Edgar Steele's memorial. We got to meet and talk there, and she's a great gal.
She sends me emails all the time, and Pat in Arkansas, which I depend on. You know, in the evening audience, and I'm mentioning this to the audience here in the daytime, if you send me emails of guests that you might want to have on or articles or, you know, books to read or whatever, I'm open to that because article that I shared first thing today was by Marin, Wisconsin. She sent it to me, you know. So it helps me because I really most of the time don't have a heck of a lot of time to put shows together, which is why I'm thinking of rebroadcasting a few of the shows that I did in the nighttime slot because some of them.
I think it would be good. Do it. Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about that. Okay. I would love to hear you again. But it is, don't forget, it's the greatest story never told.
I got it written down, Marty. Thank you so much for the input.
Good job.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
Good night. I mean, good morning.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Phone lines are open 800-313-9443. Before I. What time we got? We got some time. Before I close out this show today, I wanted to share with you guys the information that I had gotten while I was over in California from my friend. We were talking about at the time that the tax revision bill was still sitting on Trump's desk, and we were talking about how it was going to affect him. He's a prominent attorney over in Orange County, and he's got a real decent income, but. He wasn't sure how it was going to affect him, but what he did do is he took me into a website, which I'm going to share with you folks today, and he showed me the incomes of teachers and superintendents of schools and police officers and so forth out there. And basically what he said is the California taxpayer is absolutely being gouged and ripped off in the private sector by the people that are in the bureaucratic sector. The tax bracket I was appalled to see this too, in California, goes upwards even as high as I believe 11%, which to me is ridiculous. But they are just and this is why a lot of people in California are literally, you know, making the decision to move because it's just outrageous. So let me do. I'm going to get in here for a minute just to share with you. And by the way, the website. If you have any doubt about what I'm about to share with you, you can go into the website yourself. It's called transparentcalifornia.com. And you can look up any bureaucrat, any official in any county in that state and find out what they make. And believe me, folks, if you're anything like me, I was absolutely shocked to see because I had never imagined. You know, they say, well, police officers, you know, they take high risks for what they do and they deserve to get paid, but they're underpaid and they only make $35,000 a year. No, not California. I'm going to read off some of these to you. Jose J. Uribe. Now, not the baseball player. This guy is a police officer in San Jose, California. His regular pay in 2016 was $110,094.40. His overtime pay was an additional $250,993.52. He received $16,239.77 in other pay, with a total pay for his overtime, regular pay, and other pay of $377,327.69, with a total benefit package added to that of $111,062.97 a year, with total pay and annual benefits. $488,390.66 for a police officer, which is more than, not the current president, but Barack Obama, it's more than the president of the United States makes. Can you believe it? That's in San Jose. Now, San Jose that's not Alameda County, but let me give you another one here. Malcolm E. Miller. This is a police officer in Oakland, which is in Alameda County. Regular pay, $111,932. Overtime, $156,667. Other pay, $117,000. I don't know what other pay is, $117,905. Total pay, $386,305 with benefits of $76,709, making a total of $463,215 per year for a police officer. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the each individual number in here, but I'm going to say that Oakland, California, San Jose, California, Richmond, California, Beverly Hills, California, let's see, Torrance, California, every one of these cities that I am reading off is the pay for a police officer. Amador Bruno, Leonard Lyo, Javier Acosta, Stuart Scott, Nabil Haddar, Lin Liu, Hector Vasquez, Stanley Shin. Every one of those people I named in every one of those cities has an annual income of more than the President of the United States. Can you believe it? Now, let's shift gears here. Okay, that's police officers. So let's go to... I'm going to type in janitor. A school janitor. All right, let's see if I can find one here. Janitor. Give me a second here. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here we go. Now, these people are all janitors. They sweep the floor. And by the way, my first job, folks, when I was 16 years old in high school, was that of a janitor 2 hours after school, 5 days a week, sweeping up classrooms after the school had ended. Janitor, Santa Clara, California. Luis Gomez, Lionel Adams, Andres Villa Gomez, Gloria Quilela, Alex Berromeo. Notice every one of these people are Hispanic. Total pay and benefits for Luis Gomez as a janitor, $157,648 a year, Santa Clara County. Lionel Adams, $150,185. Andres Villa Gomez, $156,984. That is more than $3,000 a week. Where does this money come from? It comes from the California taxpayer. And as I notice and I go down here, I notice that almost all of these people have surnames that are Hispanic. There's a Jason Chow, which evidently is Chinese, $135,000 a year. Oh my gosh, the benefit packages that these people are receiving are $40,000 to $50,000 per year on top of their salary. Now, let me try something else. Let's go in and type a superintendent of schools. Superintendent. Yeah, okay. Let's see what I can find here. Now, this is in the school system. Okay, a park superintendent, and I can relate to this because I grew up here, Hayward Area Recreation and Park District. This is the guy that oversees the park. $219,392 a year. Superintendent of Wood Lake Unified School District, Drew Sorensen, $202,679 a year. Where does this money come from? It comes from the taxpayer. Can you see why? Ron McDonald still lives there. But Steve Elkins, you see why he possibly moved out of there? Let me type in another one, just for kicks. Let's see if I can find history teacher. Let's see, history teacher. Let's see if we can find one of those. And by the way, we all know that 95% of history books that are written are lies, right? 95% of our history books are lies. But let's go with Sandra Betham, James Foster, Michael Perkins, and Tony Robledo. They are all history teachers. Sandra Betham is in Los Banos Unified School District. Her regular pay is $90,829 a year. She didn't work any overtime. Her other pay is $32,268. Her total pay is $123,097. Her total benefit package, in addition to the $123,000, is $29,487 for a total of $152,584 a year for a history teacher. They go – let's see if I can find every one of these teachers, every one of these teachers makes well over $100,000 a year. Now, I don't know about you folks, but all my life I've been told that teachers are underpaid. And I do know that in Arizona that is true. I dated a girl years ago that was a teacher, and she actually was a special education teacher here in Arizona, and her pay was less than $30,000 a year. So why the big difference? I don't get it. I know that Arizona is a right-to-work state, whereas California isn't. But what has happened over there? And California is broke, okay? Now, remember this, what John had brought up on his program about people leaving Illinois and the problems that they're having with the pension funds, okay? Wouldn't this be part and parcel to why California is in such financial difficulty? When you are paying people benefit packages of this enormity, it would only make sense that your state would be unstable financially. We'll be back. Final segment, American Awakening. Stick around. More to come. Phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, during the break, I took a look into the AmericanAwakening.chatango.com, and I noticed there was somebody in there that was kind of, well, wasn't real fond of God, what's the guy's name I'm having on the show tomorrow? Clint. Clint Richardson. Anyway, I want to warn everybody, a lot of you may know who Clint is, some of you may not know who Clint is, but he's pretty controversial in his writings, and I'm going to have him up tomorrow for the entire 2 hours. Simply, part of it is selfish, because I really want to hear what this guy has to say and define, because I went in and looked at this book that he's published for free on his website, and it's pretty deep. I had the time to read a few pages of it, but I mean, really, it's going to take a long time to digest this. And I know that I heard on John's show that he was going to read it. I don't know, you know, if we have the time to even get through it, which is why I decided to bring him up on air. I would like to listen to what he has to say and pose a few questions to him of my own. And hopefully, you know, the second hour, I'll open up the phone lines and have some callers. And by the way, we've got a few minutes left. I have time for a caller if you want to call in at 800-313-9443. But I also, during the break, I also looked up math teachers in California. And I'll share a few of those with you. Josefina Nervaez, another Hispanic. Math teacher, Los Banos Unified School District, total salary and benefits, $176,648 a year for a math teacher. Fremont High School, Vivian Frazita, $164,771 a year. Glenn Lilly is a science teacher, $160,161 a year. Let's see, I'm scrolling down here. I mean, folks, I literally can't believe that. That's $3,000 a week for a teacher. Now, I'm not saying that teachers, especially in Arizona, should be paid $27,000, $28,000 a year. I'm not saying that at all. But do you honestly, can you justify having somebody teaching math in a public school, can you justify them making $3,000-plus a week? I could see maybe $1,000, but not $3,000. And policemen making more than the president of the United States? Is that really justifiable? I don't know. So, again, you know, I can see why California is having financial difficulties. And if it's the same thing, I don't know about Illinois. I don't know if they have a website in Illinois. But what John had mentioned on his program about, you know, these people making an exit out of Illinois is because there was some guy that actually won the lottery in Illinois and they didn't pay him. I think they offered him dinner or somewhere. Could you imagine? You know, you won the lottery for a couple hundred million dollars, and they said, well, we're sorry. Yeah, we know you won, and we agree that you won, but, well, we're not paying you. I mean, what would you do? And these people that have worked all their lives, whether they're teachers or janitors or police officers or people in the, you know, the public or the government sector, that are not going to get their pensions after they invested 40 to 50 years of their working life in doing so? I don't know about you. I'd be upset. Now, how upset? I'm not sure. You know, I've never been described as being a quote, laid-back person, but I do practice an element of self-control. I think in that case, I might lose it. Anyway, that's it for today. I hear the music coming up. Folks, stay tuned for Michael Rivero. I revere Michael Rivero. I have a lot of respect for Michael. Does a great job, puts his work together very well. So stay tuned for him, because I'm sure he'll have some good information for you. See you same time, same station tomorrow with Clint Richardson. Bye for now.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.